The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Hello, Latin America, and welcome to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, coming at you from lovely Mexico, the Badlands, beyond the Rio Grande, cartel country. I'd like to give a warm welcome to the new governor of Tamaulipas State, Americo Villarreal. Dr. Americo, welcome, welcome. Cabeza de Vaca, the criminal ex-governor of Tamaulipas State, is out on his ear. Hopefully, he will face arrest in the name of Jesus. We've got a loaded broadcast for you. Of course, we'll have your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. I'm going to give you a little sneak preview here. Let's go to that right now before I even get into my breakdown. This is Isaiah 42. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. This is Latin America right now. We're going to have a big change in Pastor Sam's Latin America War Report and Migrant Invasion News tonight, because I have been working so hard to wake up my own country, to wake up the United States of America, that nations were falling one after another, that Vietnam had something called domino theory, and in the Americas we have domino reality. Country after country lost to voter fraud, election fraud, fraudulent election courts, stolen elections, Chinese narco armies, foreign powers coming into the Americas and taking over nations. And now we're going to turn it around, and I'm going to speak to Latin America, because right now these countries that I love. Hello to the Argentinians. Hello, Argentina. Hello, Buenos Aires, the Paris of the Americas. Hello, Chile. Hello, Costa Rica. ¿Cómo están mis hermanos ticos? God bless you. God bless our beautiful new world that the Lord has given us. And I want to read you the final part of this verse. Smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. See, everybody always forgets that part. They make this like it's pertaining to your individual life. Oh, is your life about screwed up beyond belief? Is it about to that point? Have you hit rock bottom? No, this is about the nations of the world. This is about the world itself. When the world itself, our wick has gone out, our light has gone out, and we're just a smoldering wick. That's when the Lord says, I will come in and save you. And what will he do? He will establish judgment. It's right here. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. So we're going to get into that more on the GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. We're going to actually read where Jesus quoted that in the book of Matthew. So we're going to talk about in the New Testament how the good guys take power and uproot the wicked out of the harvest field. But before we even get into all of that, I have got a score to settle. I've got a beef. And there's a point where we have to air things in the open. Okay, there's a super secret missionary conference that's going on in my country, that's going on in Mexico. And they didn't invite me? I've been trying for 10 days to get a call back from my good friend, Russell Stendahl, probably the most famous missionary in the Americas that's still alive and still out doing it. And Brother Russell's done a lot of good work. But I really want the Council of the Lord to be present at his missions conference. And in this top secret, double secret spirit of martyrdom, communique about this, all the questions were on the table. Oh, what needs to happen so that the gospel takes better root in Mexico? Listen, there is something in Mexico called the fourth turning, the cuarta T, the fourth transformation of the nation. And it's under... It is underway right now. It is happening. And you know what a big part of that is? Is establishing law and order step by step so that the wicked are shaken out of the world. Someone has to grab the world like the morning and shake the wicked out of it. And do you know that's happening in Mexico right now? Oh, but there's going to be a conference where all of the preachers are going to get together and with bleeding hearts and cry and weep about this and maybe pray about it. Because I have to just tell the world now. I wish that my friend Russell and I could just sit down together and have a cup of coffee, but I have to tell the world that my good friend Russell Stendahl and I, we were mentored by the very same mighty apostle, Brother Clate Sonmore. And we came to opposite conclusions. We came to opposite end results. He wrote two books called Rescue the Captors and Rescue the Captors Part 2. And you know what those books are about? His time as a captive, where he was held captive by the FARC in the Colombian jungles. And he came out believing that they should just absolutely be forgiven and loved and the other cheek turned, and that that will produce some sort of a benefit. Well, you know, Russell and I also have something else in common, that both of us were taken captive and held hostage in the jungle by communist insurrectionist armies. He by the FARC in Colombia, and I myself was held hostage in the 90s by the Zapatista National Liberation Front in Chiapas State in the south of Mexico. And what did I do? I, first of all, escaped from captivity, and just before doing that, turned around and denounced all the leaders of the entire movement to their faces, told them they were not Christians, that the Archbishop Samuel Ruiz was leading the movement astray, that this had Roman fingerprints on it, had globalist fingerprints on it, and that they were outside of Christ, and I turned around and undusted my feet and destroyed my very first army by faith. Yes, the opposite of what Brother Stendahl would like the whole world to believe. You know, in 2010 or 2011, I went to the very last Voice of the Martyrs convention with Brother Stendahl and Clate Sonmore. And I gave the final warning myself by prophecy to high leaders of Voice of the Martyrs, this great organization, and warned them, look, you've got state-level intelligence agencies that are gunning for your operation. You work in over 40 nations of the world, only where the gospel is illegal, and you don't think the spies are going to come to America and end you? Let's take some steps. So this is why the SOM conference coming up is all double secret, because they decided that they'd take half of my advice. A sure way to get into trouble. Even Mr. Miyagi said, karate, yes, okay. Karate, no, okay. Karate, maybe you squash like a grape. That's what Miyagi Sensei said. So, okay, SOM has taken half of my advice after Voice of the Martyrs was totally brought down by an intelligence operation to falsely accuse Tom White and then probably murder him and make it look like a suicide. So Voice of the Martyrs is no more. SOM has taken up some of the slack and is working in illegal places in the world. I'm sure that they're getting some things done in India and some other places. I'd just like to say that in Latin America, the most warlike nation, which has spread the revolutionary ideal throughout the world, although Argentina was first in 1806, is Mexico. La Tierra de los Bigotones, the land of the mustachioed revolutionary. And I just got to say, Brother Stendahl, what are you coming to Mexico with your pacifist doctrine for? I don't think we need your pacifist doctrine, and I don't think that we need your defective Bibles here. There has been such a warfare in Latin America over the Bible, over these Castilian tenses, and then now we have critical text Bibles everywhere. I'm working with two Bibles right now, the RVG, Reina Valera Gomez, which has been brought into 100% agreement with the Textus Receptus, makes a differentiation between mujer and marida, and the Trinity Bible Society's new translation out of England. And it's only out in the New Testament, but there are some of them in Mexico, and I'm taking a very close look at that because it is a modern translation that is 100% faithful to the Textus Receptus, or billed as such, 100% faithful to the King James. So we're looking at that, but the last thing that we need is emasculated Bibles. And you know, Brother Stendahl, I really wish that when we were at that conference in 2011 and you were asked about Bruchko, Bruce Olson, a missionary who did the worst possible thing, went out in the jungle and got converted by the natives and wrote in his book that he wants for his body when he dies to be hung in a hammock high, high up in the jungle trees so that the vultures can devour his corpse and carry his language over the horizon, which is the heathen plan of salvation and the heathen version of the afterlife, for one's language to be carried by buzzards over the horizon. And I wish, Brother Stendahl, that you could have, without denouncing him as a friend, I wish you could have said, we've come to opposite conclusions on some things, although I consider Bruce a friend today and that he's made a big impact in my nation. Well, that's what I'm going to tell you, Brother Stendahl, is I do consider you a friend and a great hero of the faith in so many respects, but we have come to some opposite conclusions. And as far as Brother Clate Sonmore, someone that I know you listen to in many respects, but I also know that you resisted him in many respects. And I'd just like to tell you and the world that when Brother Clate died in 2017, I passed through his city, and Brother Clate's angel rose up and came with me. Not with you, not with his sons, not with Sunshine Ministries, not with anybody else. And there were great... Listen, I'm not really worthy of that. It's something that I intend and attempt and persevere to be worthy of. But I'll tell you this. Much of Brother Clate's partner base died out. He outlived them. There were great titans of the faith that were part of previous movements, that were part of the latter rain, that were part of big tent movements in the 50s. And they couldn't carry the ball into the next generation. And so the one who is carrying it is me. And Brother Clate Sonmore was a mighty apostle. He spoke of a mighty earthquake that would strike Colombia to confirm his word, and it happened less than 24 hours later after he gave that prophecy on the floor of the Congress in Colombia. He was in the air on the way back to the United States, and every square foot of Colombia, including the outlying islands, was shaken. That was 1967. I really appreciated what you wrote in the afterword to Brother Clate's book, Strange Fire, by Clayton Earl Sonmore, because you spoke of that miracle and how clear it was that God put his stamp of approval on Brother Clate's reproval of the nation of Colombia. But right now, the advice that needs to come to Latin America is not this pacifism. It is how to use our faith and the weapons of our warfare and the tools of self-government and self-defense to advance our nations out of the quagmire, because some of them are still stuck in the Dark Ages and shackled to Rome. And so, Brother Stendahl, Martin, that's the word of the Lord for your conference. And as for all the U.S. churches that back all this secret squirrel business, there are a lot of us that are out living in cartel country every day, openly. It's not a secret. And we overcome by faith. So I would encourage you and invite you to join our ranks. With that, let's move on to the Day of Atonement. Tomorrow, Tuesday, at the setting of the sun, is a very special day, the highest holy day in the entire Hebrew calendar. This is the day that the high priest would enter the temple once per year, and only with blood. And I would just encourage you, when the sun goes down tomorrow night, Tuesday night, that you consider it a special day, that you afflict your soul. Consider fasting from sunset to sunset, or even fast one meal, or even fast one little thing. Just honor God that day, because we are expecting that the Lord is going to visit us. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law, continuing in Isaiah 42. The isles. This is the southern hemisphere. This is Australia. This is the Cayes of Belize. This is the Islas Malvinas, the Falkland Islands. So many British overseas territories, which are in a great shakeup right now with the change in the monarchy. And here's what the Lord says to them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from all the earth, King James says, in the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Verse 12, let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. Oh, the islands and the sea coasts. And one thing that was learned by the world in World War II is that there was too much focus put on the Suez Canal and the Panama Canal, when really the tip of Africa, the tip of South America, Australia, and these British overseas territories, and all the gates to Antarctica are of greater importance. We'll cover that more shortly. Right now, I just want to encourage you with a tale of the Norwegians, a seafaring people, a faraway place that was at war for years and the world didn't care. But they stood up for themselves. And here's a great movie. I'm going to just share some clips with you. It's called Edge of Darkness with Errol Flynn and Anne Sheridan. And in the beginning, guess what? The preacher's a pacifist. He says, oh, I really don't think... I'm just going to let them speak for themselves. But here we start with the pacifist preacher. This is not God's way.
Pastor, what do you say?
I say it's wrong. I say it's against God's will. I say it's murder.
They slaughtered us in the streets, and you talk about murder.
Believe me, I understand. But do not infect us. It would only make it worse. By him who died on the cross, I swear I am no coward, but in my very soul I know this is wrong.
Hammer has told us that the English are delivering arms up and down the coast. We'll get them here. The question now is, do we agree to accept the arms? Are we together when they come? Each man should speak his mind here, now.
And the town as a whole, they vote to receive weapons from the British so that they have the means to resist. And of course in this movie, the British are the good guys and the Germans are the bad guys, and that's not really how things are working out right now. There's a lot of corruption in the British Empire, even though it's the first Protestant nation that ever was in the world. And the Germans, you know, there's a great German heritage. We have all the Modelo Cervecerias in Mexico. That was established by German immigrants. There's so many German immigrants in Argentina and other points south in the Americas. And so many of them have discovered our American ideals. And even before there ever was a Third Reich, there was a great Protestant Germany. This is where Martin Luther was from, Martin Lutero. He was from Germany. He nailed his 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Chapel in Germany. He translated the Bible into German, with which act he signed his death warrant. What about Otto von Bismarck, great Protestant hero of the faith, who fought a bloody civil war to attempt to defeat Romanism and push Romanism out of Germany? But then the pendulum swung the other way, and Hitler made deep, deep accords with Franz von Papen and with the Vatican. And where are the German people today? Well, in the last week, they've been out in the streets protesting that they wanted to bury the hatchet and stop attacking Russia in the Ukraine and stop waging a proxy war. And they wanted to open the other Nord Stream pipeline so that they don't freeze to death this winter, and so that their industry doesn't shut down, so they can continue to make fertilizers. And they were out there protesting, open the pipeline, open the relations with Russia. And what happens? An act of sabotage, and the pipelines are suspiciously blown up. Those good people of Germany, they want to stop the war right now. So do please try to embrace the paradox of Germany as these Norwegians are talking about their Christian nation and their national pride and their love of their own flag and their defense of their own patria. As they're talking about all that, whose hymn are they singing? Martin Luther's great hymn. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Okay, so after watching for 56 nights, every night, for the British submarine to surface, they finally surface and give the signal to row out and get the guns, get the weapons. So they go out and they get the weapons, but then there's a strict order given that they're supposed to wait until the appointed day so that they can coordinate with all the other coastal villages. Just like what happened in the Mexican Revolution, the date was set of November the 20th. This is why there's a street named November the 20th, Avenida, in every town in Mexico, because this was the appointed day for the revolution to start. But what happened the night before? The Federales raided the house of Aquiles Cerdán, and Carmen Cerdán, Aquiles' sister, was sitting on the staircase. I went to Puebla. I sat on the staircase where Carmen Cerdán sat, and there began the very first gunfight of the Mexican Revolution. The Federales broke in the door and fired a shot at Carmen Cerdán, and Carmen Cerdán returned fire and shot down the police officer of the illegitimate Biden regime. Yes, and you know what I did? I put my finger like Doubting Thomas in the hole made by the 7mm Mauser bullet of that Federale as he attempted to kill Carmen Cerdán. And Carmen Cerdán shot him. And then she ran to the roof during a raging gun battle that went on for hours. It's on my YouTube, by the way. All the holes in the walls, their house, was his beautiful mansion, was shot to shivers. Carmen Cerdán ran to the roof and raised her Winchester rifle in the air and said, "Revolution!" She called for the revolution to begin immediately. And the same thing happened in World War II with the Norwegians just 20 years later, 30 years later. In this retelling of a true story, the first oppositions to the Nazis were intellectual. By one tradesman, the shoemaker. Tradesmen are hated by globalists. And real workmen, real people that actually construct their society, and even great businessmen, whether they make an invention or they go into manufacturing, they're not accepted as far as the globalists. No, you have to be in on the latest racket, whether it's ethanol or whether it's windmills or whether it's some lithium batteries or whatever. You can't build things. So they hate this shoemaker that comes against them, and they hate the intellectual. You know, when Cambodia fell to communism, every person over 30 years old and every school teacher was murdered. Just like the 43 normalistas of Ayotzinapa, a case which is rapidly gaining justice and being solved under Mexico's fourth transformation. And if you don't know, a normalista is a teacher. These people are always referred to as students who were murdered. They were student teachers, young teachers. Normalistas are young teachers. Just like in Cambodia, the teachers were being murdered by the corrupt regimes before.
Let me go, before I tell you what I think of you, what every honest man thinks of you.
Quiet, everybody!
Hi, Grandpa. Tell us.
Brave Nazis. Very brave indeed. But not so brave when you're patrolling at night. I watched your faces. Somebody slams a door and you think it's a shot. And how do you sleep at night? Not very well. And why? Because my Norway has a fighting tradition. There was Erik the Red. There was Ibsen. You're dealing here with giants. I could have told him all those things. I didn't say a word.
What you don't understand is that the individual man...
Quiet, you fool!
The individual man must stand against you like a rock.
Will you stop?
No.
But their intellectual protest gets them nowhere, just like Brother Stendhal's pacifist preaching about loving their enemies. It gets them absolutely nowhere, and you know what the bad guys do, the Nazis do, and this conflict, global conflict, right now is so confusing because each side calls the other side Nazis, so somebody's going to have to decide who the Nazis really are, each man maybe for himself, but the Nazis ratchet up the pressure, and they rape Anne Sheridan, the starlet of this movie. And at that point, first of all, her father, the doctor, who's a pacifist, loses his nerve and kills a Nazi with his cane. Then reprisals are ordered where all the leaders of the resistance are rounded up. They must dig their own graves, and they're about to be shot. And as the firing squad is lined up to get them, who mows them down? The pacifist preacher himself. Tears him down with a Tommy gun. Here it is. Maybe even Brother Stendhal will wax strong in the fight and go and do likewise.
I'm going to save time so that we can still do our musical interlude with the lovely muse, minstrel, and warrior Carla Cass Sandoval singing an original about Carmen Cerdan. Right after our mailbag, I got two letters from Australia. One was from Aussie for Ya, and he said, "Sam, we cannot be friends anymore if you do not hate their Juden." I want you to think about this for two reasons. One, Australia has been drilling with the United States, Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan, knowing that the Taiwan conflict will probably erupt this month. October and March are the only favorable sea states for a seaborne invasion of the island of Taiwan. It's probably all going to blow sky high, and yet totalitarianism is taking over Australia. My other letter said, "Sam, we're having a fuel crisis. It is illegal to cut firewood. There's a $900 Australian dollar fine if you even spill a drop of gas. It's illegal to walk off of a trail in the vast forests of Australia. Pray, because this time the wicked have taken over the southern hemisphere first." And those of you in the Americas, consider this. Consider that maybe Alberto Fernandez will take the helm of the presidency, that he will not be a figurehead. I know Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador has counseled him to do that. I know he has. He's the head of CELAC. He could change horses. He could leave the globalists. Let's see what happens. But first, I'm going to play you this beautiful tune by Cass.
Amigo, amigo guerrero, te digo, somos marineros. El barco juntos sacaremos. En sueño, despierta contento. Amigo, no tengas más miedo. Sabemos que hay un camino, que juntos la luz toparemos, que el viento nos lleve corriendo. Amigo, amigo guerrero, te abrazo, siento tu consuelo. En busca del arco iris, me tomas la mano y me muestras que existe un camino divino, que existe un destino, que hay otro sitio donde todo es pinto, que existen colores que nunca hemos visto, que hay corazones que crecen distinto. Oh, somos aire limpio. Oh, amigo, no tengas más miedo, que juntos la luz toparemos. Amigo, amigo guerrero, te abrazo, siento tu consuelo. En busca del arco iris, me tomas la mano y me muestras que existe un camino divino, que existe un destino, que hay otro sitio donde todo es pinto, que existen colores que nunca hemos visto, que hay corazones que crecen distinto. Oh, 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 somos aire limpio. Oh, 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 oh.
I encourage everyone to find Cass on YouTube, K-A-S-S-A-N-D, Cassand on YouTube, Cassand Music on Facebook, over 2 million views, and on Twitter and Instagram, it's Cass, K-A-S underscore Sand, K-A-S underscore S-A-N-D. Oh, is your nation that smoking flax that the Lord Jesus will not snuff out? Will you stand for your patria? Brazil, will you take command of your own ship? Come see me at gospelgunslingers.com.
Circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.